quit. Don't give up. Press on. We take your Bibles again, please, and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts, chapter 4, page 1152 in your King James Scofield Bible. Acts, chapter 4. Our text verse will be verse number 12, Acts 4, verse 12, page 1152. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that we've had in this service so far. Thank you for the sweet fellowship. Thank you for the good songs singing by the congregation. Thank you for the choir number and this special. Now I pray that you'll give me the attention of all the folks that are here. Bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. And I pray that you'll bless everyone that will receive something from the message. Apply it to our hearts. Save those who may be lost. Reclaim those who may be backslidden. And do a work in everybody's heart in this auditorium this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to use your imagination for just a few minutes. Let's pretend that heaven opens up and Peter is standing just outside the entrance of heaven. We're going to ask him a few questions. Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Pastor Chase. Nice to see you. I understand that you want to ask me a few questions. Is that right? Yes, Peter. May I ask you a few questions? Yes, you may. Thank you, Peter. Peter, how many Presbyterians do you have there in heaven? There are no Presbyterians in heaven. Peter, how many Methodists do you have there in heaven? There are no Methodists in heaven, Pastor Chase. Well, how many Baptists are there in heaven? Not a one. There's no Baptist in heaven, Peter. And how many Catholics are in heaven? Not one. How many Assemblies of God? Not one. How many Nazarenes? Not one. How many Mormons? Not one. How many Jehovah's Witnesses? Not one. How many Lutherans? Not one. How many Church of God? Not one. Well, Peter, who in the world is up there? Everyone who has been washed in the blood of the Lamb and has experienced forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. In other words, salvation is not found in a church. It's not found in a denomination. No, no, it is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you can find religion in almost all churches and denominations in the world. If you're seeking religion, you can find it in many places. But the Lord said in his word that salvation is in Jesus Christ, and it's only found in Jesus Christ. If you want religion, I can point you to a number of churches, about 100 churches here in the Lafayette community, and you can find religion in almost every one of them. But if you're looking for victory over your sins, if you want a home in heaven and you want eternal life, there's only one place to find it, and that's in the living person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and no other place. You want to know what religion did to my Lord and Savior? They spit in. They falsely accused him, calling him every name under the sun, and did not rest until they had nailed him to the cross. That's the religious crowd. No, religion is not enough. What is enough is when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that comes when you see yourself as what you are, a lost sinner, and you see him for who he is, a Savior. You are the sinner. He is the Savior. Salvation is a personal relationship. I wonder this morning, do you folks have that relationship? There is a true gospel and there is a false gospel. You can find a false gospel in many churches today and many more on television. It was the same in Paul's day. In that day, as it is in ours, men forsake the true gospel and they preach a false gospel of good works that bring salvation and then good works in order to keep that salvation. Now take your Bibles, please, and I hope you'll turn with me and find these verses. Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's on page 1241. And I would like for you to see them if you got a Bible with you today. Galatians chapter 1, page 1241. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel than that you have received, let him be accursed. Paul is upset. He preached the true saving gospel of Jesus Christ, and many were being born again. But no sooner had he left to go to other places with the gospel, some other religious leader comes along, and he says, look, Paul is all wrong about this. He's not telling you the whole truth. Listen to me if you want to know the truth. You're going to have to keep the law of Moses and a bunch of other laws, or you will never get into heaven. But Paul had taught them that they were saved by grace through faith, plus nothing and minus nothing. We are justified by faith through the grace of God. Paul had warned them that false teachers was going to come in and preach man-made laws, and they're not to listen to them. Look at Galatians 1, 8 and 9 again. But though we, or even if an angel in heaven comes and preaches any other gospel unto you than that which he have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, and so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. The same thing happened in the church over at Ephesus. Go over to Acts chapter 20 now in your Bible with me, please. Page 1177, Acts chapter 20, page 1177. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 21. Acts chapter 20, page 1177, verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Then Paul warns them down in verse 28. Take heed therefore unto you, unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Verse 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Paul said to them, let them be accursed, or literally be damned to hell fire. Those are pretty strong words. Paul would not be very welcome in most of our modern day churches today with all their rock bands and rock music and coffee houses and false teachings. There's no doubt they would kill him if he tried to interfere. This modern-day ecumenical movement with all the churches and denominations getting together is just a part of the devil's scheme to keep the lost from getting saved and the saved from growing in grace. We are compromising our convictions and beliefs in order to have fellowship with each other. There are at least two reasons why Good Shepherd Baptist Church, almost went back to Greenbush, won't get involved in the modern ecumenical movement. One is turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in your Bibles now, please. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, page 1234. 1234, 2 Corinthians 6. Look at verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, page 1234. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The second reason is found in Amos chapter 3, if you'll turn there with me, please, page 936, Amos chapter 3, page 936, and verse number 3, Amos chapter 3, page 936, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Many of these churches and denominations have some man-made doctrines, and no doubt there are many who are not truly saved. So we must keep ourselves separated from their false gospel. Many in the ecumenical movement will tell us that none of us are good enough for heaven, and that certainly is true. But then they go on and add, and none of us are bad enough for hell. So they have developed a purging in between those two, a place where we must go to get purged in order to make us ready for heaven. So they've come up with this false man-made doctrine called purgatory. You won't find that word in the true gospel because it's a man-made doctrine. The true gospel tells me once we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. To depart and to be with Christ is far better. Yes, that's far better than some purgatory. Now turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, page 1237. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, page 1237, and verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, page 1237. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. There is a wonderful simplicity to the gospel. However, I think sometimes people tend to oversimplify it in the sense that we make it easy believism. Do you folks know why we have so many weak Christians today? Do you know why so many Christians are not faithful to church? It's because we have made salvation too easy. We say, pray a little simple prayer and you'll go to heaven. I think that true biblical belief involves surrender, commitment, confession, coming to Christ and embracing Him with all the heart, trusting Him and Him alone for salvation. Saving faith involves more than easy believism. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The word faith, F-A-I-T-H, means this: forsaking all, I take him. But we don't forsake anything today. We say a simple little prayer. We never see any changes in our lives. We keep the same old sins we indulged in prior to our supposed salvation. Some years ago, there was an article in our local paper where some teenagers from several of our local churches were going to get together to, quote, celebrate J.C. Dear folks, he is not J.C. He is not the man upstairs. He is the holy, perfect, sinless Son of the living God. How dare we bring him down to our level? Look at this familiar verse with me over in John 14, page 1135, verse number 6. John chapter 14, most of you know it by heart, verse number 6, page 1135. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are two people there, not a church, not a religion, not a creed, not a denomination, but two people. I am the way, Jesus said. That's one. No man, there is no other person, comes to the Father but by me. Salvation involves two people who have to get together. There has to be a connection and a relationship. You can join 1,000 churches and yet die in your sin and go to hell. Billy Sunday used to say, going to church doesn't make a man a Christian any more than going into a garage makes him a car. Or somebody else said, going into McDonald's don't make you a hamburger. He also said, hell will be so full of church members that their feet will be sticking out the windows. There are two persons involved in the salvation experience. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 11, please. Page 1011 in your King James Scofield Bible. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 27. Matthew 11, page 1011. And verse 27. Matthew 11, verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son revealeth him. But Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come to me and I'll show you the Father. You and Jesus, that's the point. Two people are involved. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's the one person. Whosoever lives and trusts in me shall never die. That's you. He said, I have come to give my life a ransom for many. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's him and there's you, and you've got to get together. There may have been a profession, but not a possession. There's never been an embracing of him with the arms of faith to make him your very own Savior. That is so crucial. You see, dear folks, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can't say that about churches. You can't say that about denominations. You can't say that about religious institutions. As long as man messes around with them, they change. But Christ is the only one you can count on. When the Apostle John is about to close the Gospels, he makes this statement. Go to John again. It was read just a few moments ago, but I want you to see him again. John 20, page 1144. John chapter 20, page 1144, verses 30 and 31. John 20, page 1144, verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing ye might have life through his name. Now go over one page to John 21 and look at verse number 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Before a church was ever started, before a denomination ever came into existence, before there was anything known as the church in the New Testament, I want you to notice what John said. Now go from John's gospel back to the end of the Bible to 1 John, page 1325. 1 John chapter 5. Page 1325, and verse number 12. 1 John 5, page 1325, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. No word in this great verse is more than four letters long. But the meaning is clear. He that hath the Son hath life. It's talking about two people. He, that's you, and the Son of God, that's him. 1 John chapter 5, where you are there, look at verse 11 now. 1 John 5, 11. And this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He doesn't say he thinks he has life, or he hopes he has life, or he guesses that he has life. It says, if you have Christ, you have eternal life right now, and you will go to this heaven that we've been singing about one day. Not because you're good, but because he is good. So what religion saves? Not a one of them. What church saves? Not a one. What does a denomination save? Not a one. What does save? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone. Do you have that personal relationship? If not, you better get it and get it real soon. Let's bow in prayer together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we as Christians live in unbelievable times. They put us down for being a Christian. They joke about us. They make fun of us. They say we're a bunch of weirdos. They don't believe in Christ. They don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in God. We live in troublesome times. But one day every knee is going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not very far away. I don't know the hearts of all the people in this auditorium. I can't see their hearts as you can see. And you can look down into each one this morning and you know who is saved and who is not. You know who's depending upon religion and who's depending upon Christ. And I pray if there's one that's not depending upon Christ and Christ alone, that today will be their grand and glorious day of salvation. I ask you to bless the invitation. I pray you'll help folks make decisions that they'll be glad 100 years from now that they made. In Jesus' name, amen.